So this morning, our passage is Philemon 4 to 20. If you're able, let us stand for the reading of God's word. My goal this morning, what I want us to see is that we don't have to be an apostle to be a minister of the gospel, that indeed we're called to encourage each other, we're called to build the body up, and one of the ways we do that is helping each other apply the gospel to our lives. Beginning with verse 4, Paul writes, "I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward all the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me, in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ." The reading of God's word. May we hear and understand and obey God's word. You may be seated. As I said, we need to recognize we do not have to be an apostle or a pastor or an elder to minister to each other. There's a book, Side by Side, written by, I believe it was Ed Welch. It's a good book, because it speaks about that very thing, that as brothers and sisters in the Lord, God has equipped us to minister to each other in the day-to-day. That's not to say we may not need professional counselors. They certainly have a place. They are needed at times. But for most of us, as we're living out our lives, each of us are able to encourage and exhort each other. In Hebrews, we see that Jesus is our mediator between God and us. And in Antioch, they were called Christians, which translated as little Christs. We're supposed to be conformed into his image, which means we also, in some measure, are a mediator. Now, certainly not between God and man, but perhaps between each other, as we see Paul doing here in Philemon. Here he's working with Philemon and Onesimus. Perhaps you've already experienced being a mediator, working between family members, neighbors, co-workers. And that's what we see Paul doing here. And I want to start with, though, laying the groundwork with Luke 9, 46 to 48. An argument arose among them as to which of them was the greatest. This word argument is speaking of having a difference of opinion. Verse 47, but Jesus, knowing the reasoning, what's interesting here is this word reasoning and the word argument come from the same Greek word which we get our dialogue from. And here Jesus is saying he knows the reasoning of their hearts, showing God's divinity within Christ. He took a child and put this child by his side and said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all is the one who is great." What's he saying here by bringing a child? A child really didn't mean much to these men because they were trying to see who was closest to Christ or most valuable to the mission, whatever they thought that might have been. Here we are in Luke chapter 9. It's earlier in the ministry. And yet Jesus is answering their reasoning, their thoughts in their heart by saying, taking this child and say, "You receive this child in my name, it's as if you're receiving me and receiving the Father who sent me." To receive someone is to bring them into your presence with friendliness, kindness. So we're seeing in this, Jesus is telling the disciples, don't worry about who's the greatest. The one who's the least is the greatest. Receive the least. We're supposed to receive everyone who comes. What's interesting, in Luke 22, we see the same discussion. Here it is, 13 chapters later, much later in the ministry, and they're still having the same discussion. In fact, here it uses the word dispute in 22 verse 24. A dispute, and this word suggests a readiness, a desire to quarrel. Do you know anyone like that? They just like to have that argument. A dispute also arose among them, the disciples, as to which of them is to be regarded as the greatest. And Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors." What I see Jesus here is saying, we see this in our own lives, perhaps people we've worked for or other situations where those who are leaders seem to be lording it over. I'm above you, you need to serve me. Even though in this age, sometimes rulers were called benefactors. It was a title. They were the person you could go to get help. And yet, oftentimes, they lord their rule over others. Verse 26, "But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves." What I like is this word "serves" is where we get deacon from. It's the idea of ministering, serving others. And Jesus is saying here, we're not supposed to be like the leaders of the world, which lord over people, but rather serve others to become the least. Because it continues with verse 27, "For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." So between these two passages, we're learning that we should receive everyone. When we're receiving people in Christ, it doesn't matter their background, who they are. We receive them. We welcome them with friendliness. And we're to serve others. There's no one too low that we should be willing to serve. We should be willing to serve any and everyone. We see Paul coming as one who serves. Think about it. A runaway slave comes to him, and he ministers the gospel. And we're going to see how else he's serving both Onesimus and Philemon. We'll turn to our text now, verse 4 of Philemon. Paul writes, "I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." Paul is serving Philemon in a couple ways here in this passage. He's acknowledging how God has been and is working through Philemon for the ministry. I don't see this as a gratuitous compliment in order to grease the skids, if you will, with his appeal. That doesn't seem like Paul. Paul's very quick to speak his mind. I believe he's being genuine here in his appreciation and gratitude. And that's something we can be doing. It's so easy we get caught up with the things we're trying to do. We miss opportunities to encourage a brother or sister in the ministry that they're doing amongst us. I know many of you have done this. You've shared with me, "Oh, so-and-so, I really appreciate what they do." And I'll sometimes ask, "Well, have you told them?" It good to let someone know. I know we don't want to get our rewards here on this side, but there's something to be said about being at least acknowledged of the work that God's doing through you. And so we can continue to do that, serving each other, letting each other know where we may be doing well. Paul also serves Philemon by praying for him, sharing, and he sees how he's sharing his faith that leads, this is what I find interesting in this passage, sharing his faith leads to a full knowledge of every good thing that is in us. When we share our faith, we all get to see that the good that God has in us for the sake of Christ. He's wanting us also to be sharing and encouraging each other. I encourage you, if I have one left, I need to make more if we need it, the prayer pamphlets. Because it's an easy way, if we have 31 versions of this, so if everyone's praying, everyone has a copy and everyone prays, everyone in this body's prayed for every day, and yet each of you are only praying a certain couple of people. And I believe that's a great way to build the body up, to encourage each other, to serve each other, praying that God would help us grow in the wisdom and knowledge of Christ, that God would use us to reach others for the lost, and other prayers that we know of personal issues with folks, the challenges that they're facing. But Paul continues now. Not only does he recognize Philemon's ministry and is praying for him, he now goes on in verse 8 saying, accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. I mentioned this last week, this word accordingly. Here Paul is acknowledging the work that God is doing through Philemon. To me, it's saying that he is a mature Christian. He's doing well and his work is being recognized and is a help for the fellow brothers and sisters. So this accordingly is saying, now that I've acknowledged what you're able to do, that you are doing well, I can now say this next thing. And he's saying what he's about to appeal. He could make it a command, and it's a requirement. What he's saying is a requirement, but he doesn't. He wants Philemon to see this himself through the Spirit of God and be willing to take this on his own. That's why Paul says, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. He's not going to command Philemon. He wants Philemon to see this appeal through the lens of the gospel in the hopes that the Spirit would help him see that and follow through. And what's the appeal? Notice, before we get to the appeal, Paul even humbles himself. He knows his position within the church, and yet he emphasizes how he's an old man and he's a prisoner also for Christ. He's trying to soften this a little bit because he wants Philemon to genuinely see what God is calling him to do. And what is he calling him to do? He's appealing for Onesimus, his runaway slave. And Paul points out by saying, whose father I became in my imprisonment, he's telling him that Onesimus has come to the Lord. He's now a fellow believer. This is a hard thing. I think it's interesting how we see Paul serving Onesimus here by interceding for him. I see it interesting that he's caring enough about Philemon to see the opportunity how he could apply the gospel to this relationship that would benefit not just Onesimus and not just Philemon, but also the body. He's truly being a mediator here between the two. And I would say also with the Lord, trying to have the eye on the gospel. Paul is serving Philemon by alerting him to the potential of applying the gospel in such a way that it would be a witness for Christ and others, in particular his new brother in the Lord, Onesimus. And he's serving Philemon by letting him go to the Lord on this his own, not by compulsion, not by commanding him, but letting him work this out with the Lord to show Philemon that this great opportunity to demonstrate the gospel in his life and to Onesimus. and not to do it, to do it on his own volition, not being compulsed to do it. And Paul continues now, and see how he's interceding for Onesimus. Verse 11, formerly Onesimus was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and me. In the first week or so, we recognized, pointed out that Onesimus means useful. And Paul's playing on this name, his name meaning here. But he's pointing out that he is useful now as a believer. Verse 12, I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. He's being trying to convey to Philemon that Onesimus has become close to Paul because his ministry, his way of serving. Verse 13, I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. Paul could have kept him, but again, that would have been more out of compulsion. But he would have done it by looking at Philemon, as if Philemon was doing the work through Onesimus. But again, he's making this point in verse 14, but I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. Again, he's giving room for the Holy Spirit to work on Philemon himself. Verse 15, for this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. I find it interesting where Paul is saying here, for perhaps why he, that is Onesimus, was parted from you for a while. We know he ran away. That's what we're gathering from this. And yet he doesn't come out and say it. One, perhaps it's understood, but perhaps he's also pointing to the sovereignty of God here. There's a purpose in what has transpired that God wants to use, and it may be this very thing, where Philemon gets to demonstrate God's gift of forgiveness. We see this more clearly as we move on in verse 17. Paul continues, so if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. It took me back to the passage in Luke about receiving the least of these. How least could you be? It's one thing to be an obedient slave, but here Paul is calling on Philemon to receive Onesimus, a runaway, disobedient slave, as receiving Paul himself. So here he's trying to share that gospel peace where Jesus taught about receiving the least of these. He's now trying to help Philemon see that here. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Do you see the gospel in that request? Paul is saying he's trying to remove every obstacle for Philemon by saying, look, I'll take on how he has wronged you. There's many ways we can wrong people. And then, that could be very much financial. But he's saying, look, whatever he owes you personally, financially, I'll take it on. Who else in Scripture do we know took on a debt of someone? Our Lord Jesus Christ, absolutely. This is the gospel in action. And this is what Paul is inviting Philemon to do. And he's putting himself in it now by desiring and be willing to take on Onesimus' debt. And to emphasize that, he says in verse 19, I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. I believe Paul was led by the Lord, and he's being obedient to that leading. Just as he's trying to give Philemon the ability to hear from the Lord and do it of his own volition. We see Paul doing that here. He continues to say, nothing of your owing me even your own self. Now, some of us might take that. I have to admit, this is an interesting verse. It's almost as if Paul is expecting something back. He is expecting something back from Philemon because he led Philemon to the Lord through his ministry. In fact, he continues in verse 20, yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. But what is Paul really gaining here but seeing the gospel applied to the life of Onesimus? If he does this, he may even say, yeah, I'll take you on your paying the debt. He's willing to do that. But he wants to see Philemon do this at the leading of the Spirit of God, not by compulsion. And if he does this, what does Paul say? Refresh my heart in Christ. When we see people being led by the Spirit and doing great acts, I shouldn't say great acts, even just simple acts of kindness, thinking about someone else and putting a card on the back of the table, helping people get from point A to point B, being there when people are ill or need some food. It may not be something as significant as Paul's doing here between Onesimus and Philemon, but we all have those opportunities. This is the gospel being applied to our life. We know we don't know how Philemon responds. Like I said, I think that's left open for us, so that as we get drawn into the story here, what would we do? What would we be willing to do? And I think about Philemon. I can see him struggling with this a little bit. If he had other slaves, if I forgive this guy, what's going to happen with the others? Onesimus, think about him and the conversion that he had and how he's willing to go back not knowing how Philemon's going to respond. He could go to jail. Who knows what else could have happened? He could be forgiven. That's his hope. But as a converted believer in Jesus Christ, he realized he had sinned against Philemon and is willing to go back to make it right. And yet Paul is coming alongside both of these men to help guide them into a gospel response in their life. Paul is giving a great example here. And as I think about how he's willing to step in to handle the debt of Onesimus to Philemon, I think of Christ, as we said. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. John 3 tells us that those who do not believe in Jesus are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the Son of God. Those of us who've given our life to Christ, we've come to know him and have the freedom to live a life, not to sin, but a freedom to live, to love others as he has loved us. Elsewhere in Scripture, it talks about we need to show mercy as God has shown us mercy. We're supposed to use the measure we use, God's going to use on us. Well, maybe we need to use the measure God has used on us through Christ onto others, being gracious, merciful, forgiving. And yes, there is a cost. When we do that, there is a cost to us. But think about it. The cost we experience on this side of eternity cannot compare to the blessing we will have as we endure in Christ when we come to eternity. When we come into his presence, what we have in Christ cannot compare to the sacrifices we make here for him. So we covered a lot of ground here. What am I supposed to do with this? Well, as we look at what Paul is doing here, we saw he received a runaway slave. We are to receive anyone God brings into the doors here, to help them come to know who the Lord is, to help them show the way in Christ Jesus. We saw Paul serving Onesimus, and we now see him serving Philemon in the hopes that they would apply the gospel to their lives as God is calling each of us to. We see how Paul recognizes Philemon's work in the Lord. He's even recognizing the work that Onesimus has done for him as he expresses this change in life that he's now useful and can be useful to Philemon. We need to be challenged to think of and look at each other that way as well, recognizing what God is doing in and through us. And there may be times where we're called to be a mediator, to help our brothers or sisters to apply the gospel in their life. We need to be willing to do that. There is a cost. Paul was willing to take up the cost of Onesimus in this process to help Philemon in this. applying the gospel in this relationship, which reminds us we can expect costs to serving the Lord. Most of the time, it might be just the time I was going to spend cleaning up the yard, I'm doing something else. Sometimes it may be greater than that, but we need to be open to the leading of the Lord. I thought about this too as I was looking and considering this passage. How do I know when I'm not doing these things, or I'm not seeing, you know, I'm missing this? Some questions came to mind. Are there people we tend to avoid? Because we're to receive everyone and we're supposed to serve anyone. Does some certain people come to mind that we're trying to avoid? Do we tend to run away from the hard things? Paul could have simply taken Onesimus and sent him off to the local court and be done with it. But he invested his time, shared the Lord with him. He comes to the Lord and is helping him grow in Christ to the point where he is willing to go back with Tychicus with the letter to the Colossians and the letter to Philemon, not knowing what was going to happen when he got to Philemon. Is the issue we are confronting someone else really an issue, or is it more about yourself or something you want? Have you sought to understand someone before raising an issue? These are things we can consider as we ask the Lord, how am I supposed to be a part of this body? How am I supposed to love others as you have loved me? And Lord, in my own life, how am I supposed to be applying the gospel? Are there areas that you want me to work on? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that's in those who believe. And we thank you for your word that can speak to us as we're open to receive it. Father, I think of these three men, Onesimus, a new convert willing to now follow through to resubmit himself to the master he ran away from. I think of Philemon, who is bearing this burden of not only a lost slave, but how is he dealing with the others and with those in his household? And now being brought this opportunity as his slave is returned to him as a believer. Father, I pray that as we're faced with such difficult situations, your word and your spirit would guide us to be responding in a way that lifts up the gospel and shows that you truly are the Lord and Savior of our life. And I think of Paul, who is simply trying to follow you, Lord, and yet is willing to take the risk with a runaway slave, willing to take on such debt in order to help a brother be open to the leading of God to receive this lost slave back. Father, you know our hearts and minds, and we pray that you, O Holy Spirit, would help us as we reason these things in our heart, that you would reveal any thoughts or reasoning that isn't gospel-oriented, whether it be fleshly or worldly or just plain selfish. Lord, help us to see those things and to repent. Lord, we know that this is a lifelong process, but we desire to be more like you, O Lord Jesus. Help us by your Spirit and through your word. May we be sensitive towards each other, seeing the good work that you're doing in and through each of us, and being open to hearing where we need to perhaps apply the gospel in our lives. Father, we ask these things not because we have arrived, but because we know this is a lifelong process. We desire your help through your Spirit and your word. Guide us. May we become a people who are truly followers of Christ, salt and light in this community, that you can use to win others to Jesus. We thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in and amongst our midst, all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.